An angry riposte from Huawei as it files suit against the U.S. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. The Chinese telecom company Huawei says it's suing the U.S. government over a ban on its products. The U.S. claims Huawei's equipment could be used by Beijing for spying. John Sudworth reports from the company's headquarters in the southern Chinese city of Shenzhen.
In a conference room located inside Huawei's sprawling headquarters, the global battle over the future of the internet took a new turn. The Chinese tech giant announced that it's launching a legal challenge in the US over a law passed last year that bans government agencies from buying its equipment. The US argues that the political realities in China mean all companies are beholden to the will of the Chinese Communist Party, which could use Huawei to spy on or to disrupt critical next-generation mobile networks. A similar debate is now taking place in Europe. Huawei's chairman, Guo Ping, said Washington had not produced any evidence to support the allegation.
The US government has long branded Huawei a threat. It has hacked our servers and stolen our emails and source code. Despite this, the US government has never provided any evidence supporting the accusation that Huawei poses a cybersecurity threat. Still, the US government is sparing no effort to smear the company and mislead the public about Huawei.
In Shenzhen, China, I'm the BBC's John Sudworth for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are mixed. Asian and European markets mostly stuttered with no fresh news on the U.S.-China trade front, though Chinese shares edged up. Now, Europe's central bank is expected to signal fresh stimulus measures as the single currency bloc battles a slowdown in growth. The BBC's Su Ping Chan has more.
Economists like to call him Super Mario Draghi, but the president of the European Central Bank was less super and more sober at his last press conference in January.
The risks surrounding the euro area growth outlook have moved to the downside.
In other words, growth is slowing, and that's making some policymakers nervous. Klaus Vistesen at Pantheon Macroeconomics says the ECB will be forced to lower its growth forecast for this year from 1.7% to something closer to 1%.
What we're going to see today from the ECB is the last major institution accepting the fact that growth rates in the eurozone of close to 2% is now over.
But what can policymakers do to combat the slowdown? Jack Allen at Capital Economics says the ECB's options are narrowing.
Typically, the central bank would first turn to interest rate cuts, but interest rates are already at record lows. The next tool in its arsenal would probably be quantitative easing, but it only ended its quantitative easing program in December. So then it's probably going to turn to what are so-called TLTROs. Now, essentially, these are cheap long-term loans to banks with incentives for the banks to loan that money on to households and businesses.
The ECB might not take action today, but it's likely to come sooner rather than later. In London, I'm the BBC's Su Ping Chan for Marketplace.
Now, globally, access to broadband is concentrated in cities. But here in England, a tiny cooperative is trying to change that. As I found out when I visited a group of locals digging fiber optic cable across fields to farmhouses, rural homes and businesses.
We're all volunteers and we're going to get it into every property in the parishes.
How old are you?
64.
I'm 65.
63.
I'm almost 60.
Shouldn't you be, I don't know, playing golf, sitting by the fire, reading a book? This is hard work.
This is more fun.
Broadband for the rural north, or BARN, is funded and owned by those volunteers and villagers. Its profits are reinvested locally, and customers pay what you and I pay, but they get constant speeds of 1 gigabyte. That's hundreds of times faster than average UK speeds. And now the company wants to crowdfund nearly $4 million to expand. CEO Barry Ford has been telling me more.
Well, what we're doing is basically trying to raise a good chunk of working capital that will allow us to invest in extra people, extra materials, extra machinery. And what that will allow us to do is about roughly quadruple our rate of build so that we can address the demand, which is vast.
And the idea is that those who contribute to that crowdfunding campaign
hopefully make a pretty good return.
They will make a very good return. You know, it's 4.5% that they're getting as the interest we're paying. So yeah, it's a good rate of return.
But why aren't existing companies providing this service?
They won't invest in the fiber to get to your house because it's difficult for them to make a quick return on that investment. But similarly, at the same time, they won't invest in more than they have to in the core because they know that they can get away with a certain amount of pain before users get really fed up with them. Barn is a community project, and what we're striving to do is deliver quality service to our users out in the rural sticks.
So how has that provision of superfast broadband changed these small rural communities economically?
One of the things we're noticing is a lot more home working. We have a lot of people in our neck of the woods who are professionals, maybe in the media, the creative industries, law, who because of low broadband speeds have tended to actually have to commute into Manchester or whatever. When you suddenly give them very high-speed broadband, it suddenly becomes viable to work from home. There's no doubt about it. There is economic regeneration going on from that sort of thing. Do I have any hard numbers? No, I don't. But I think time will tell. I think statistics will start showing it in a few years.
And do you think that this kind of a model could be a solution to anywhere in the world, really?
Absolutely. I don't think there's any problems at all. This model will work absolutely anywhere in the world. The key to it all is that the community has to recognize it's got to step up and invest the money to make it happen, because commercially it doesn't work for the big companies, so community's got to do it. The crowdfunding model will work anywhere.
Barry Ford finally discovered 100 new beetles, scientists have, including one called Yoda. It's small and green, of course, and lives on an Indonesian island. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report, coming to you live from the BBC World Service.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.